What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
You know what, Limits? I'm calling an audible. We have all year, really, to talk about the future. Let's listen to some of the sound from last night. And can we all agree, by the way, that if the idea here, and I think the idea here, was to win a playoff game this season, they failed spectacularly. I mean, I don't know of a person who thought that that at minimum the Steelers had to win a playoff game. Maybe after the Ravens game. Remember I was teetering, Limits? I was teetering last week and I said if they're even competitive in a playoff game, I might call this season at least a moderate success. But then they go out and get beat by a million points and it should have been worse. So I don't know who could possibly argue that this was a successful season. The high point was the Baltimore home game, I think. The road game was pretty good, too. The low point was an absolutely ludicrous loss to Cleveland, an all-time franchise embarrassment. And then what we saw last night, the worst home playoff loss in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers. By any reasonable definition, this was a failure. It was. It was a failure. So why don't we go over some quotes? It was a failure if they had to win a playoff game. And when you haven't done that for 8 years, you better do it in your ninth year. And you've been outscored by an average of 2+ touchdowns every single time. I mean, how much more evidence do we need here before we move on? So let's hear some sound from last night from what had to be just a despondent locker room and podium over in the media room. Limits, I'm going to let you dealer's choice here, and then I'll riff on it.
Well, Joe, I'm going to throw it right back to you. I'm going to give you a choice, A or B.
Okay.
What do you select, A or B?
B.
B means we will start with the defense, and we start with Cam Hayward on any talk around Mike Tomlin.
I don't really care about that noise because they don't know what Mike T puts into us. They don't know how he goes out of his way to prepare every man. They don't know about the countless nights that man is in there studying film. You know, coach is going to do so much. Players have to play better. And in those critical moments, players got to step up.
I mean, I think I do know how much he puts into it. He puts his heart and soul and his life into it. And so do all the players. I don't think you get to this point in life at that level of your profession if you're not. But what does that have to do with anything? Everybody's doing that. He doesn't win ever in the playoffs anymore. His teams get hammered all the time. And now it's been nearly a decade without coming close to a playoff win. It's almost becoming like a satire here. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that people keep defending this. What are we talking about?
Like, if you were a fan of another team, I just don't understand how it can be just plausible for them to understand what is going on here. Like, people might see, oh, well, the Steelers, they're always in it. They're always in the conversation. That's great. But unless you're truly in it like we are every single day, I really wonder, like, what do they think in Seattle about Mike Tomlin? What do they think in San Francisco? What do they think in New Orleans? Places like that. About the state of the Steelers right now. Because I wonder, would they think, oh, well, maybe Mike Tomlin, that's just from an outside perspective, is somebody who shouldn't go. Maybe he's just doing a really good job with less.
Well, you need to present them with more facts, such right. as they've been outscored. Well, okay, A, he now owns, tied with Marvin Lewis, the longest playoff losing streak that there has ever been, 7 games. He hasn't come close to winning one of those 7. They've been outscored by an average of 2+ touchdowns in those 7 losses. They've been outscored 73-3 in the first quarters of those seven losses, and it didn't get better in the second half. I just saw the stat from the Pat McAfee show. In those seven playoff losses, the opponent has led for every single second half snap over those seven games. That is mind-boggling. Next.
Here is what Cam Hayward had to say about Aaron Rodgers' future.
I don't know what's playing. I think every guy showed you they should be a part of this team in the future. But I'm not going to play GM right now. If 8 wants to come back, he's right to come back. I'd like to see him come back, but I'm not going to make that decision. That's not fair to the Steelers, not fair to 8. A lot of respect for the organization. And Aaron, that dude's earned my respect for what he's, been through this year. And he's a hell of a teammate. I'm just very thankful I got to play with that quarterback.
Well, I will say this about Cam rather than Rodgers. Rodgers is an obvious first ballot Hall of Famer. I think Cam solidified his Hall of Fame case this year. He didn't have much of a game last night. But when you have 4 first-team All-Pros and 2 second-team All-Pros, I mean, that is quite the resume. And if he were ever able to get from 92 to 100 sacks, that would be a nice number to put on the resume. I think he's a Hall of Famer limits, especially based on who's already in. I mean, to have that many first-team All-Pros, that is rare, even in the history of this great franchise, and he just got named second team All-Pro last week. Let me just check on that while you tell us your feelings about Cam. I'm more interested in Cam from that quote than Aaron. We just talked about Aaron. And it sounds like Cam is just planning to be back again. Is this dude going to go on forever?
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Quickly on that quote, I find it really fascinating how during the summer it was Hayward saying, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. In response to Rodgers, it seems like he did a complete 180 on his opinion of Aaron, which I think, go through a 17-game season, play an 18th playoff game. It's some interesting perspective of how that relationship developed, but I do agree with you that Hayward is a Hall of Famer. And it's just wild to me how he could be 35 years old when Aaron Donald retired at, 32, playing at defensive tackle, and he's having the best seasons of his career in his 30s. Typically, if you're an interior defensive lineman who gets beat up on every single play, your prime is probably 25 to 30, right in that range. Cam Hayward's prime has been 30 to 35.
It really is remarkable.
Very impressive.
And if you look at the history of this franchise, here's the list of players who have more first-team All-Pro. Not talking about Pro Bowl, because that's been watered down over the years. First-team All-Pro. Cam has been that 4 times. Here's the list of guys who have more than that in Steelers history. Lambert, Ham, Dawson, Faneca, Webster, and Woodson. 6. That's it. Joe Green had 4, which seems unbelievable. They didn't have more. Polamalu had 4. T.J. Watt has 4. Antonio Brown, 4, and Hayward, 4. That's the whole list of guys, 4 or more. And that's pretty darn amazing, if you ask me. How about Minka clocks in with 3, oh limitless wonder?
Yeah, I mean, up until he couldn't grab an interception to save his life, he had a really good run here in those first 3 years.
Greg Lloyd with 3, Donnie Shell with 3, Jack Butler, the Butler did it. Unbelievable that Mel Blount only had 2 first-team All-Pros. Wow. Le'Veon Bell clocks in with 2. You proud of him, limits? Marquise Pouncey with 2. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township.
Sorry, I was sitting out of that response like Le'Veon Bell set out for a year.
Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Next.
All right, let's move along from Cam to Alex Highsmith. And Highsmith's response to the game.
We were a really close team, really close unit. And like I said, it did feel different this year. And so we just didn't get it done, and it sucks.
And what I think is interesting about that is Highsmith thought it was different. The team thought it was different. I think a lot of us were sucked into it, thinking that this team was going to be different. The one to break off this streak of years without a playoff victory, partly because of the quarterback, because of some of the guys that they had on defense, because of Gainwell and Warren. And you get Metcalf back. But once again, after 60 full minutes, it's the same result.
What stood out to me was him saying this was different right after he said we had a close team. Were they not close in other years? That makes me wonder about that. I thought he had a pretty darn good year. 9.5 sacks. He looked like, for the first time, he was back in 2022 form when he signed that contract. Listen, it's not like there's still not some good talent around here. There's some young talent around, too. Now, he's getting up there a little at 28, but Herbig is a young player. I loved what I saw of Harmon for the most part. Zach Frazier. I think McCormick is a good player. I think Dylan Cook may have a future. Fotanu took a huge leap forward. Joey Porter. Like, there's some young talent around here. I think that's undeniable. But you have problems at the two most important spots, coach and quarterback. The coach can't win big games anymore, and your quarterback's 42. And then there are other areas where there's gaping holes. Next.
Let's go to the offensive side of the ball, Joe. This is what Calvin Austin had to say about playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, it was a blessing. It was amazing. I mean, I feel like any receiver to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, is, you know, is something I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. I learned a lot. So, you know, at this point, it's just in God's hands.
What's in God's hands?
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
If Aaron Rodgers will be back or not.
Oh, I thought he was talking if he'll be back or not.
Isn't his contract up to?
I believe it is. Now, I think he's restricted, though. Don't quote me on that. I would imagine it was a thrill to play with Rodgers. And you know what? Rodgers had a good year. I just don't know that he's a guy who's good enough to take you where you really want to go anymore. And again, for the 8 trillionth time, I'll say it. Man, it's always better to do this a little too early than a little too late. And there were some signs, Cleveland last night, of when it goes south in a big way. And you don't ever want to see, you know, Johnny Unitas on the Chargers. Is that where he wound up? I think so.
And yes. The Chargers
or Joe Namath on the Rams. He was good this year, though. Rodgers had a good year. He was better than I thought. And he served the city and the team very well.
The Chargers just fired their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, a couple of days after their playoff loss.
The Roman candle.
Yeah, you know, the Roman Empire comes to an end.
I guess it does.
This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about if the Steelers have a bright future.
Yeah, I think so. I think you got a lot of the pieces in place. You know, signing DK, obviously, for 5 years. Now there's some moving pieces because there's been some, you know, some mercenaries. But, you know, I think that there's the good combination of young guys who are ascending, and there's some big decisions to be made. I mean, our team MVP was Kenny Gainwell. He's a free agent and severely underpaid for his performance and what he adds to a team. But you got a good core. You got to start with the offensive and defensive lines. And obviously, TJ's under contract for a while. And Herbig came on. And KB had a nice season for us. And YA's got a bright future, I think. And then offensive line, I already talked about it. You know, you got 3 center, right guard, right tackle. As long as Isaac wants to play, you know, he plays at a high level. And, you know, obviously Bradford got hurt and gave opportunity for Dylan, who obviously showed he can play in the NFL. So I think you got a good pieces in place on the O&D line. And obviously every year is different. You got to figure out who's coming back, who's not. But I think, you know, this team is always going to be competitive, and there's some pieces in place to have a chance to be competitive for a long time.
Sure. I mean, Mason Rudolph could get them to 10-8 in a blowout playoff loss next year, for all I know. But what he did say there was true. There are, and we just talked about it. It's not like they're void of talent. There's some young talent around here. They got to find a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers probably took them as far as they're going to get. And again, he was pretty good this year, I thought. But they still don't have a franchise quarterback. That's even bigger than the coach. You got to have that. Unless you have an all-time defense, and I'm wondering if the Texans might. You got to find a quarterback, and I don't know where that guy is right now. Do you?
He's not in college because Mendoza's going to go one. Dante Moore, if he comes out, is going to go two. And Ty Simpson had a horrendous Rose Bowl game. There's no other option that I feel great about.
I don't even want to make a Drew Aller joke because I don't even want to.
I didn't even
want to
bring up his name because I'm just so sick of the fact that these quarterbacks are supposed to be, you know, breaking down barriers this year to have five or six guys drafted in the first round.
How about the Ole Miss kid? Is he going to be eligible? Chambliss?
Yes, he will be eligible.
Draft him. I don't care. Take him somewhere. You think Will Howard gets a chance?
No.
You don't?
A chance at what? To be the starter?
To compete.
To compete, yeah. But like to actually be the starter in week one, though.
Well, if you get a chance to compete, then you have a chance to be the starter.
Okay, well, maybe I should have clarified and said that the chance is very low.
You should have clarified and said that the chance is very low.
I'm clarifying now.
I think he's going to get a chance if Rodgers doesn't come back. I think it's going to be Rudolph against Will Howard in training camp.
That they wouldn't bring anybody else in.
I mean, they would, yeah.
If they do that, then why not just hire a new coach? Because you're already throwing out there it's a lame duck year because we don't have a quarterback. And you're basically wasting Cam Hayward and TJ Watt's time.
Well, they're wasting yours a little bit, too.
Well, yeah, they are.
Next.
All right, the always quotable Patrick Queen wants to talk about how this compares to last year.
I think last year you could kind of feel the vibe go down and stuff. And not give up, but definitely felt like, the season was going at its end. This year felt different. It felt like, we could have a chance.
He also said it
felt
different.
Wait. Play the beginning of that. Last year, the vibe, I didn't catch what he said after that.
I think last year, you could kind of feel the vibe go down and stuff. And,
he said the vibe go down.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
Not give up, but definitely felt like, the season was going at its end. This year felt different. It felt like, we could have a chance.
Well, except that sounds great, except this year was worse. That was a worse game than last year when he gave up 300 yards rushing to the Ravens. I know everybody wants to sort of live in their delusions here, but it's worse now than it was last year. I mean, I'm glad if the locker room feeling was nicer, that's nice. It's nice to be nice to the nice, as Frank Burns once said on MASH. Limits, who are you talking to?
Pony is claiming that you misquoted him with your Schottenheimer quote.
I didn't quote him. I read a show note off of our website.
Show note that Donnie put on there. It was the notes, yes.
Okay.
It was either Donnie
Dom
or...
I didn't attribute it to any one person. I said the show notes said that.
Yeah. Now poor Donnie's going to get chewed out by Pony.
Maybe. I don't know. But let it be known that there has been a case, whatever the case there, let it be known that there has been a case of a 10-win coach who won a division getting fired. In fact, he was a 14-win coach, and his name was Schottenheimer. And that's the kind of playoff company you're keeping these days. Schottenheimer and Marvin Lewis and Jim Mora. Playoffs.
Remember when we used to laugh at the Bengals and Marvin Lewis and
playoffs?
They just would continually go there and lose in the playoffs. And then when the Steelers beat them.
Can you say playoffs like that?
Playoffs. When they basically beat them on a Joey Porter Sr. walking onto the field and drawing a penalty.
Yes.
Plus the hit to the head by Burfitt on AB.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
That was Jim Mora. That's the company he's keeping.
Here is Patrick Queen on the issues with the defense.
For the most part, I think some parts in the game we allowed them to run the ball a little bit too much. And it cost us. It could have been a closer game. So could have been better in that part. But a lot of guys did a lot of great things, getting the ball, making plays and stuff. So it's definitely still to be proud of.
Let's make no mistake here. They got a couple of turnovers, a couple that were lucky, I would say. A couple were earned. But they were getting moved on really all game.
Yeah, they were.
They should have been down 21-6 at the half or thereabouts. Come on. They were getting beaten. They were getting beaten at the line of scrimmage. And C.J. Stroud was actually beating them. He just lost his mind a couple times and self-destructed. They didn't destruct him. He self-destructed. Anyway, Limits, we'll finish this off next.
All right, Joseph A. Bank.
Let's do social media's biggest loser first, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com, shall we? Who is it?
Social media's biggest loser is City Limits for believing that this Steelers season going into the playoffs was going to be different.
I'll join you there.
That they were going to actually win a playoff game.
I'll join you there. We're both social media's biggest losers.
We're eating crow today.
You and I, we're eating crow.
Can you like?
I don't know what I would. I don't know what I was. What is crow? What? Like, where does it?
Probably like a crow, like you know, like a bird.
That's what eating
what it
crow
means.
Eating
crow.
I don't know.
I feel like that would taste terrible.
Yeah, little barbecued crow. I don't think I'd like to eat that.
Where do you think that saying came from?
I don't know, but you should look it up. You're the beat writer.
No, you're
what
the
were
beat
we just
writer.
Talking? I don't know. I don't know what I was talking about or looking at. Both, really. And thinking that this team, I thought they had a better quarterback. That's what I was. That's what I was looking at. And I'm sorry for that. And I'll be sorry about that till the day I die.
Doesn't this feel like just a collective day of healing and a day of mourning for the city?
Not healing, definitely mourning.
Yeah, the healing will come in the next couple days.
No, it won't.
Probably the next couple weeks.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I just got a text from a man I consider to be influential, who said, hope all is well. Change is definitely coming to Steelerland. What do you make of that, oh limitless wonder?
Well, I wonder what the depth of the change is. Is it just Terrell Austin? I don't consider that much of a change. It's already Tomlin's defense. Is it the quarterback? That change has been happening for the last 4 years. So I wonder what the depth of that change is.
So do I. And I don't know. What was your favorite moment of this whole Steelers season that we're saying goodbye to?
Probably the Baltimore win just a week ago.
When that field goal sailed wide right?
Yeah, being in the building for that, knowing that there would be one more game. Because, I mean, who doesn't like more football? I know it might have been consequential and maybe what could have happened with the coach, but I think we're all in the same boat on that anyway. Where that was just a really fun moment for an all-time Steeler-Raven game in the top five. It's probably around 4 or 5. But still a really fun game to be able to watch, enjoy, and be in person at. Other than that, like, it was cool to see them win in Ireland. There were more lows than I would say highs. I mean, losing to the Browns again. The end of the Detroit game was thrilling.
That was a great fourth quarter. It sure was. One of the big headlines on ESPN, Rodgers backs Tomlin. Absolute, quote, absolute joke if on hot seat. I mean, the real joke is that we're going on a decade without a competitive playoff game. Sorry, but that's the joke around here. A decade without coming close to winning a playoff game, without coming close to winning one. All right, Limits, do you have a prediction on Penguins Lightning tonight?
I think the Penguins will bounce back from their 2-game losing streak, wrong, and they will beat the Lightning 2-1.
How about a prediction on when's the national championship game?
Monday next week.
Who do you want to win? Who
Indiana.
Do you think will win?
I think Indiana will win.
I think Indiana is one of the greatest college teams I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're right up there with 2019 LSU. I mean, they don't have, I don't think, the NFL talent that LSU team had with Burrow, Chase. I think Higgins was on that team. Just an incredible, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
So, Indiana doesn't have that. They do have a number one overall pick in Mendoza in a talented wide receiver core, but it's not as big of a names, or at least I don't think they'll become as big of names in the NFL like that group was, and just how dominant they were. I mean, Indiana's been very dominant, too, with their margin of victory.
Do you have a rooting interest in the NFL as we move forward? I should say that What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Cloudy and high of 47. Mel Blunt, low of 30. Jalen Warren. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We got Buffalo, Denver. Denver is now favored. I thought Buffalo at first was, but it's Denver by a point and a half.
I'm rooting for the Bills, partly because I know that you want the Bills to succeed, Joe, and I'm rooting for you, but also because I've always liked Josh Allen, and I wanted to see Josh Allen succeed, and I want to see the people up in Buffalo be able to celebrate.
That's very kind of you. San Francisco at Seattle. Seattle by 7.5. I don't care about that game, I have to say. I'll watch it, but I don't really care about it at all.
I care about Sam Darnold and him continuing to prove people wrong.
Do you think they'll win?
I do, but I don't think it'll be by more than 7.5.
Houston at New England. Man, these Texans, that defense is, it could be historic. And I use that word lightly considering what happened to the Steelers' use of that word this year. They are something else, and I think they're going to win. New England is a 3-point favorite. I guess it depends on whether C.J. Stroud fumbles 4 times or 9 times in the game. But I'm going to take Houston, and I want Houston. Do you?
No. Well, yeah, because I don't like New England. So I guess I would take Houston in that one. But ultimately, I think it will end up getting a New England-Buffalo AFC Championship game in New England.
Holy ostrich milk. How about Los Angeles at Chicago? Rams at the Bears.
I think the Rams are going to win. The Bears' magic has worn off.
So do I. I agree.
It will wear off in this game. It's a good season for the Bears, a good building block, and Caleb Williams looks like a quarterback that can be reckoned with.
Rams, a 3.5-point favorite. What's the most expensive ticket of all these games on the secondary market limits?
Rams and Bears.
Wrong. San Francisco at Seattle.
The 12th man.
Why is that so expensive? $516. And what's the cheapest one to get into? Wrong.
New England.
Houston at New England.
Yeah.
If you could go to one of these games, what would you go to, limits?
I'd go to Rams-Bears.
I'd go to Buffalo-Denver. I love Denver. That's one thing. Plus, I think it's going to be... I mean, I don't want to discount Denver. They're really good. They have a great coach, Sean Payton, who is identifying problems with that Buffalo defense even as we speak, and he's finding lots of them. Believe me, they're gonna find things to exploit. It's going to have to be 17 putting on the cape again.
Maybe they get Oliver back. That would be a great
addition. That would be something. All right, Limits, you have to take us out.
All right, Joe.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, buddy. And as we do, we will go back to, for a large portion of the show, where we started. Let's hear from you at 412-928-9370. Here's Matt in San Francisco. What's up, Matt?
How's it going, guys? Well, I always call this the Steeler funeral day. I give myself one day to mourn it. But I going back to what earlier conversation about healing, no, that never starts.
So you're going through the stages of grief then, Matt. You're going through, what is
I've
it, like a 4 or 5
stages
steps?
Of grief for the last 10 years. it's a 10-year streak of grief. And after what we saw last night, I don't know if you guys said this or anybody gave you this nugget. That's the worst home playoff loss in franchise history.
Yes. Points-wise, yardage-wise. It's the worst yardage-wise since their first ever home playoff game in 1947, Matt. 1947.
Yes. Was that when we played when we were no longer the Steagles and actually played the Eagles and
they
game got shut
the
out 21-0?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, what Mike Tomlin is doing every year he coaches, he threatens his own Hall of Fame status because he's building these dubious records no one wants to be connected to. And it's just, you know, I had a moment when it was 7-6 at half. I thought, hey, we didn't get outscored. I mean, like I thought we would in the first quarter. It was another, zero on the scoreboard for us in that first quarter. The fourth quarter just fell apart. And as soon as that game was 17-6, I flipped it off. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah. That was practically it, Matt. And I appreciate the call. Where once you got to that spot in the game where 10-6, you could still come back. Once it became right around, an 11-point game, you knew it was over. You knew they were not going to be able to come back and have a rejuvenation of offense like they did against the Ravens, who had no pass rush, who had Kyle Hamilton out of the game, who has a young corner in Wiggins that just isn't very good, and they've been throwing shade at in Baltimore for weeks, thinking he's not very good. The Texans have all pros, pro bowlers, in pretty much every level. Their pass rush is elite. Tomlin called them the best pass-rushing duo, Anderson and Hunter, in the league, and you saw them wreak havoc against a young offensive line. Here is Cindy in Beaver County. Hi, Cindy. Cindy? Cindy? No, Cindy. Mike is in Virginia. Hi, Mike. Mike, you there? Man, we are really striking out at the end. Paul, I know you're there.
That's right, City Limits. The one and only, the eternal optimist.
Are you still optimistic, Paul? Paul, didn't you call in and say that they were going to lose this game? Or do I have that incorrect?
Yes,
were you?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
No. They were going to lose, and I predicted 32-17. I gave them too much credit. Steelers will never, ever win another thing of any substance until Mike Tomlin and his whole regime, including, I hate to say it, Omar Khan, Andy Weidel, the whole crew is out the door. We need to start from scratch. And may I suggest the head of the search committee, none other than Baldwin High School's own, Dave wants that. And then may I also suggest...
To lead the search committee or to be the head coach,
yes, to lead the search committee. Oh, I'd take him as a head coach. But to lead the search committee for the new head coach and GM, and then I would make my first interview for an OC, Bobby Slowick's kid, who's also a Baldwin graduate.
So you just want to bring all the Baldwin people in, Paul.
Well, you know what?
You know the jokes...
I can see Jason Pinkston helping the offensive line guys. I mean, there'd be a lot of positives there at City Limits.
Thank you, Paul. Let's go to Mike in Virginia. He's on. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Austin.
What's on your mind?
A couple things to say here. What do these guys in the front office think is going to happen at the draft here? Because we heard at the trade deadline, Rooney didn't want to trade any of these picks for Jakobi Meyers. That's why we didn't go out and get our receiver number two, right?
Yeah, I believe that.
So what do they think is going to happen on draft day when they get up to announce the Steelers pick and all these fans are complaining about Tomlin?
Well, they're probably going to think that by the time that we get to that point in the end of April, that it's just going to wear off, that people are not going to have the same level of anger, the same level of vitriol towards them. And also, there's going to be fans traveling from other cities. There'll probably be Eagles fans there. There'll probably be Browns fans, Bengals fans, Ravens fans. I mean, we're not far away from a lot of major NFL cities, Lions fans, even though they just had the draft. So maybe it's even in the back of their minds where maybe it won't be as bad as people think with any potential booing. There'll be other fans that are there. Sure, Steeler fans will be there. But are they really going to boo during our huge event that we've hyped up so much? And I appreciate the call, Mike. Maybe that's in their minds. Maybe they are just numb to thinking that that is actually possible. And their tunnel vision is just so focused on being competitive, not winning playoff games anymore. I'm sure they loved getting a home playoff game and the revenue that that generated. But they don't win in the playoffs anymore. And if somebody is not doing their job properly, they're not getting it done. They're not. What is the bottom line for me is this, before we have to go and turn to the PM team. What do you want to be as a franchise? Do you want to be above the mean? Do you want to be a team that's in it and competitive? Or do you want to be like multiple other good organizations where a championship is actually top of mind? And for them, it just seems like it's secondary.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.